Worship. There we go. And I actually finally got it to shut off, but forgot to turn it back on. But how do we practically love each other? How do we carry out this whole idea that Jesus said, by this all men will know you are my disciples, by your love one for another? And God actually, I believe, solves this problem by giving a series of commands throughout the New Testament, all having to do with how we should be toward one another. There are at least 25 of these one another commands throughout the New Testament, with several of them being repeats or additions to a biblical command already given, and that would be to love one another. And there are a couple of others that give more light on an aspect of what we need to be toward each other. And through these, we can actually see how we can show biblical love one to another in God's church. Now, we have our basic commandment that we just read. But what I want to do is break these down into three basic sections, because that's really how they fit pretty well. Now, these are not natural biblical guidelines, you know, that break up into three. But I was taught in seminary you're supposed to do 3 points in a poem. So, of course, that's what Moses brought down from the mountain. So, 3 points in a poem. But anyway, these three things are that we are to love one another. We are to encourage one another. And then finally, we are to be gracious to one another. And those would be the three basic categories that a lot of these one another commands naturally seem to fall into those three areas. And rather than me go through 25 different ones of these and you going, I don't remember anything from church, except that Pastor John had way too many points. What I'm going to try to do is break them down into three basic areas and help you understand how loving one another is kind of seen more clearly through several of the commands, how encouraging one another is seen more clearly through some of the commands, and then finally how being gracious to each other is seen as well. Let's pray for just a moment before we get started. Father, we want to come and ask that you would open our minds and our hearts to this. God, I pray that you give me grace. God, I was barely coherent before Friday, and of course I'm always terrified, Father, when I don't have 3 to 5 days to prep whatever I teach. But Lord, I know that you're God. I know that you knew what I was going to be in last week. And so, God, may you open up the hearts of the saints. May your Spirit open up your Word. And, God, may there be a beneficial time together, Lord, a very practical time together of what it means to practically love one another as your church, Lord. And we ask that you do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a reason why we've gone through this entire study of the church as a community, and that is because the elders and I really strongly believe that God wanted us to break into community groups instead of having a Sunday night service. And part of that, saints, just to let you know, we've got there's just like 6 different choices that are out there of places you could go to be a part of a community group. We are having them all meet that first week, April 1st, on a Sunday, so that you're not confused as to which group is what. Some of those groups actually already have a different night they meet on, but that Sunday they'll discuss, you know, how you'll do this. Now, as far as these community groups, there's going to be an elder. From what we can see, there's going to be an elder probably in every single one of these community groups, just to offer leadership, to offer that sense also not just a connection, but the elders kind of know where we're headed, and therefore we don't want to get off base and start doing things we shouldn't do. But we strongly believe, and this is kind of why we really headed in this direction. One, it's necessary. It said that in the early church they met publicly. They met in a public forum as one giant group of believers, but then they met from house to house. And there was a benefit to that. There was public teaching, there was teaching on the disciples, there was the disciples' doctrine that was being put forth to all the saints. But then there was that sense of fellowship. There was that sense of relationship. And when you start looking at these one another commands, they really have a far more intimate setting than all of us being in a big room. And in order for us to carry these things out, there really has to be a smaller setting in which we can do many of these things. Now, we're committed to maintaining unity. We're committed to maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. But we're also committed to being in a small enough gathering of the body to where these things can take place, to where we can pray for each other, to where we can encourage one another, to where we can love one another, to where that can practically be seen on a smaller basis so that it's not so hard or not so easy, would be a better way to say it, to just kind of fall through the cracks and not receive the kind of ministry that the body of Christ is actually supposed to offer one to another as we love one another. Now, these groups are going to meet in homes. You'll see the times, by the way. If you need more information, there's a phone number after each one of those places. Not everybody knows all those street addresses that are listed, especially if you have a county road involved. And we have a lot of county roads in this area. We live in Arkansas. We're all about the county road. And so I've had people from outside this area say, "What does CR mean?" And I said, "County road." And they go, "What in the world's county road?" And I said, "It's how we get around, you know, that and, you know, how many cars are on blocks in your front yard, you know." Those are our major ways of telling people when to make a turn and things. And so if you look at one of these and say, "Man, I'd love to go to that group, but I do not know where CR, you know, 19 CR 483 is, you know, I don't even have a clue, and I'm not even sure how to read a map to find it," there's a phone number so that they can tell you how to get where you're trying to go. Okay, so that's why there's phone numbers. As far as child care in these groups, we need to let you know that we believed, rather than try to have a central located child care situation, that would be very difficult because some of these groups are going to be meeting miles from this building. And therefore, what we're doing is we're allowing each group to basically formulate their own idea for what they're going to do for child care. We would encourage you as elders not to just kind of put them in a room and turn on a video. But literally to take it as a challenge that you'd want to bless these kids while you as adults are being blessed as well. We realize we have a Sunday school. We realize we have Wednesday programs for our children. But you know what? Try to come in there and do something to bless those kids. If it's nothing more than read scripture and play some with them, and we're not negating videos. We're just praying that and asking you to consider some aspect of ministry. We realize that it's going to be, you know, probably about an hour meeting, and you're not going to want to have an hour teaching time, you know, going through the values of understanding who Melchizedek is with a two-year-old, okay? We understand that. But we're saying come together as a group. This is a community group. And different ones within the group say, "Hey, I'll take my turn. I'll go back and minister to the kids. We'll take care of the kids this week. We'll take care of the kids this week." And if as a community you minister to the children, it won't be a burden on any one person. And honestly, I believe over time you'll have a mindset of what I'm excited about with the community group that we're doing is I'm going to take my turn working with kids, because I don't ever get to work with kids unless it's VBS. And then I'm just up here like a big doofus jumping around and doing hand motions and you know, singing and everything. But I'm going to look forward to my time working with the kids. You know, now, I love the thought of that, because I don't ever get a chance to work in the nursery because I'm supposed to be preaching and teaching. So we encourage you to do that within your group. There's going to be some things that we encourage you to do in your groups, to pray together. We're going to actually give you some discussion questions. A lot of times they're going to be based right off of what we learn on a Sunday morning. So as you've heard something in the morning service, there's going to be a couple of scriptures and a couple of more questions based on that to stimulate discussion as a group. And we're going to encourage you to do that. Now, if your group says, "Hey, we would like to study this," just talk to the elder. We'll get that approved as long as it's scripture and it's scripture-based, and your group could study something that you guys want to study. These are very open-ended, but what we want to happen in these groups is to build relationships, to have that place where you can build relationships, get closer relationships within the body, and have the opportunity to do some of these things that actually Scripture encourages us to do. Now, what we're telling folks on this is we want these groups to meet at least every other week, okay? Right around twice a month at the very least. If your group wants to meet more often than that, there are groups that say, "Hey, we'd like to meet every week." By the way, if you have a week where your group, it's just not feasible for the group to meet because of vacations or stuff, don't meet that week. Meet a different week. But what we're going to try to do is build that mindset of when we're going to try to meet. Now, over time, we're going to be able to build a little roster to let you know when people meet, where they meet, what day they meet, what times they're meeting. And we'll always have phone numbers so that you can call the group leader and say, hey, we were thinking about coming this week. And they can tell you, yes, it's still on. Come on. Okay? And you know what? By its very nature, these are going to require communication. We're going to have to talk to each other. Okay? We're going to encourage people within groups to possibly say, hey, my group leader is not a phenomenal communicator with everybody. But I am, so I'm going to come up to my group leader and say, hey, would you get me everybody's number? I'm going to send a sheet around. I'll try to take, you know, the responsibility of helping out with communication. And so we do want to let you know this. We do not, we are not putting these together so that you'll eat every single week. There are some groups, by the way, that may choose to do that. That's great. But we do not want the burden of having to make a meal every time these folks come over. So know that that is not required. Now, something that's honestly smart, you know, once every 6 months, do something like that. Have an evening where you just eat together and laugh and have a great time, okay? But that is up to your group when your group gets together, okay? So we're trying to put out some information. I feel bad this week because I wanted to get a letter out and things like that, but I was just kind of sitting in my room watching the ceiling spin. And so wasn't quite able to do that. And so But let me encourage you, get involved in one of these groups. Take the time to sign up for one of these groups. And here's the thing that we as elders believe. If you want to try a couple different groups, don't feel like, but the group I visit the first week, I will be there until Jesus returns. Okay? Don't think that way. Try different groups if you need to. Find the group where you seem to just fit in. And then you know what? There's some people that it would be wise for you to say, you know, I may not feel like I fit in anywhere. I'm going to make myself fit in. I'm going to come over and over again. And what you'll find is you'll get closer with that group of people and you will fit in. Okay? Now, the reason we're doing this is for the whole idea of these one another commands. As it says here, the first thing in the first group of commands is to love one another. Okay, note, Jesus says, as I have loved you. We are to love each other as Christ loved us. That means we are to love one another selflessly. We are to love one another even if folks don't love us back. Okay? And that's the way we are to be toward one another. By the way, it says in Romans 13:8 that we are to owe nothing to anyone except being constantly indebted to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law, Romans 13:8. It is actually our only true debt we'll never get rid of. And that is the debt that we have to love one another. And it is a debt we owe, saints, not because we owe money to anybody. It's just a debt we owe to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because He bought us with His blood. And He made us into new creation. And as a new creation, we are to love our brothers and sisters. We are in debt to our Lord to love one another that way. It is the one thing we are taught by God universally. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. If you will actually go to the Scriptures and submit yourself and say, God, I want you to teach me consistently as I go to the Word of God, and you come away from it without the idea of loving one another, you haven't been taught by God. Because what God would teach you in the midst of all the rest of the awesome theology and things that He's going to teach is that you should love one another. In Galatians 5:13, this is actually why God gave us freedom in Christ. There's a lot of people in today's church that have a completely weird idea of what it means to be free in Christ. And they think that to be free in Christ means that you have liberty to kind of act out in certain ways or to do certain things that the religious world might frown upon. Now let me say, when you're free in Christ, you're free in Christ. But if you look at what it says in Galatians 5:13, it says this, for you were called to freedom, brethren, but do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for your flesh. There's the danger. There's a lot of people out there saying, I'm free to do this. I'm free to do this. I am not bound by the law. I'm not bound by your religious conventions. But be very careful when you talk about your freedom in Christ that you are not using your freedom in Christ to just set your flesh on fire. And suddenly you find your flesh wanting more and more and more of something. Now let me say this. I believe the Scriptures teach that we are not to get drunk with wine. Okay? I don't believe the Scriptures teach we are absolutely never to touch any kind of alcohol whatsoever. I believe that the scriptural teaching is do not get drunk. I think that as a believer, I'm not for this personally, you could have a glass of wine. But let me say this. I know a lot of believers who are all about thinking they can have their glass of wine or a beer, and what they wind up doing before it's over with is they wind up serving their flesh. And when they get together for their wine together, their beer together, it's amazing that their character goes straight back to where the world is, rather than to a God-glorifying mindset. Now, what we're told in Galatians is that we are free, but we are never to use our freedom to serve the flesh. But, and I love this, this is what it says, through love, serve one another. Your freedom in Christ is, and this is wild, and saints, please embrace this. It's a part of the one another commands. You are free from your selfishness. That's what God did in Christ. He freed you from your natural, self-centered, selfish ways so that being freed by the blood of Jesus, you can now give yourself to serve other people. Now, let me say that if you really are free, I need to ask a question. Who are you serving in the body? Because here's the problem. There's a lot of people out there, I'm free in Christ. But they're not really serving anybody. Their lifestyle is more that they're serving themselves. And if we're really free, it would be manifest by going out of ourselves and seeking to bless other people who are around us by serving them and taking care of a need that they have or loving them in some way that's sacrificial. You want to know, Jesus was the freest man ever walked this earth. He bound himself to one thing and one thing only, and that was the will of his Father, to bring glory to his name. And what Jesus Christ did as the freest man who ever walked this earth is he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so, saints, as we love one another, our freedom is not that we might serve ourselves. Our freedom is that we might serve each other. Finally, you have 1 Peter 1:22. And by the way, when we'll love one another when we live in obedience to God's truth. It says, since you have an obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. 1 Peter 1:22. Now this is cool. Because as you start getting into the Word, according to this passage, what happens is this. The Word will begin to do a work in you. And what the Word will do is it will actually purify your soul so that you can love other people. So that you can love one another. Because many times what keeps us from loving one another is what's going on in our mind, our will, our emotions. And guess what that is? According to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that's our soul. And the problem many times is something will get into our mind that will prevent us from loving someone else. We'll start thinking unscripturally. But what the Word will do is the Word will purify our mind, get our mind back on serving people even that don't love us, serving people that don't bless us, serving people that in all honesty sometimes don't even like us. And we will give ourselves to serve and to bless them in Jesus' name. Why? Because the Word purifies our minds so that we're not thinking our own thoughts, we're thinking thoughts after God and after His Word. It'll purify our emotions. How many times has God kind of directed you or you knew you ought to serve somebody, but you're just like, I don't like that person. They weren't nice to me. Or, I love this one, I just don't feel like it today. And how many of you went past those feelings and pushed beyond those feelings and chose to serve somebody anyway in spite of your feelings, and you got blessed unbelievably because you chose to go beyond your own emotions, let the Word of God purify your emotions so that you might then reach out and bless somebody, even if you didn't feel like it. I had a great time Saturday morning with the guys. But I will tell you, when I woke up Saturday, I didn't feel like it. You know, I wasn't sick still. I was just weak. And I was like, man, go up there and they're going to ask me to move tables and chairs. And I'm afraid I may, you know, try to lift one and fall over. And, you know, that's going to be embarrassing. And then, you know, and I just don't feel really strong or everything. And then, of course, there was two things going on in my mind. I could serve my brothers and there was free bacon. And I'm not really sure which one it was that drew me in the end. I think it was one of a combination of both. And I realize some people are going to be like, God would never draw you through bacon, okay? But I went, and actually I stayed till almost noon, and I was blessed. I was incredibly blessed, okay? And it was, I went out of myself. And I decided to be with my brothers. I put myself in a one another situation. And then in that one another situation, I chose to go up to guys and talk and to ask questions. How are you doing? What's going on in your life? Stuff like that. How can I pray for you? And I walked away from the meeting just blessed as all get out. And saints, we've got to move past our emotions. We've got to move past our, I don't feel like it. And we always have this mindset, I'm an American. I'm free to do what I want. Yes, you are. You're also free to be miserable all day long. And to continue in the I don't feel like it mindset and not get blessed ever. And then finally, there's just this. Your will gets cleansed by this. Because there's just times you're just like, I'm just not going to do it. I don't want to. You know, I'm not going to do that. It's my time. I want to do with my time what I want to do with my time. Well, by the way, it's not your time. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. It's not your choice. He bought you. Do what He says, and you will be blessed. So, saints, we're to come together to love one another. And sometimes we have to deal with our attitudes. Sometimes we have to deal with our will. Sometimes we have to deal with our emotions. And I love this. When we purify our souls, it says then we can fervently love one another from the heart. And that's cool. That's cool when you have that white-hot love for your brothers and sisters, something that drives you past yourself. And as a result, you can bless other people. There are some other verses that have this whole idea of love as well. There's Romans 12:10a. Says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The word devoted here is philostorgos. And it means to have a deep family affection for your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's Romans 12:10b. Give preference to one another in honor. The word preference means, and I love this, try to outdo each other in honoring each other. The idea of honor is also a beautiful picture because it speaks of placing a value on each other, placing a high value on your brother or sister. And what you're going to try to do is outdo each other in honoring and saying, I value you. You're valuable to me. Things, would it not bless you if at some point during your week, somebody came up and said, hey, I just want you to know something. I value you. You are of high value to me. I'm just glad that God saved you. I'm glad God did a work of grace in you. And man, I just value you. You make me feel like I'm stinking rich because I know you. And I'm blessed to have you around. How would that make you feel? If a brother or sister said that to you, and it wasn't, you know, being creepy, okay? Guys, there's something about this that just builds up the body. This kind of love that would be awesome. And the idea here, evidently, according to Romans 12:10, is that we're devoted to each other in this kind of love, and we want to give preference to each other and honor each other and let each other know how valuable we see the other person truly is. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind toward one another. Don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. And don't be wise in your own estimation. It has the idea of preferential treatment or favoritism. And it means simply this. As we love each other, saints, we don't classify people. Some are worthy. Some are not so worthy. Some are higher because they're really awesome. And some are lower because we just kind of, you know, they're weird. We're specifically told, if we have that mindset, then to find the ones that we consider lowly and absolutely make sure we associate with them. Isn't that interesting? So you might want to solve this whole idea of viewing some people as more valuable than other people, because the moment you place a lower value on somebody, the Scripture says, by the way, make sure you associate with them. Don't be haughty in your mind. Don't be haughty in your attitude toward brothers and sisters. Don't be haughty in your mindset toward another believer. And by the way, if you have a little bit of haughtiness, then there is all the more responsibility that you be sure to hang out and love that person. So by the way, as I talked about somebody you consider lower than yourself, pretty much I imagine somebody came into almost everybody's mind. Make sure you hang out with them at some point this week. And you make them feel like they're a person of great honor and value. Scriptural, right? See, this is where we kind of like, Pastor John, can't you just talk about God loves us and we're all nice and worthy and God wants us to have a really great day and we're dismissed? You can now beat the Methodists to the food bar, you know? But see, that's the problem. Far too often we get a mindset that we just want to have religious stuff going on in our lives and we don't really want to love one another. I love this one. It says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. I love that. Be hospitable to each other without complaint. And you know what Jesus is doing there? The Spirit of God saying, by the way, don't be Martha. Don't be hospitable and then be really ticked off that you have to take care of and minister to all these people. Be hospitable to one another. If you have a special gift, employ it in serving one another. 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10. And then we have the one that's always interesting. Romans 16, 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now let me say this. That was a cultural thing. You go over into France, they kiss you on both cheeks. Guy, girl, doesn't matter. You know, you go to Italy, they probably do something real similar. Come to the United States, a hand is put out in front of you that says, I have a space. Please don't get inside this space. It is so funny. I befriended a guy who was from the Middle East at seminary. Nobody liked him. You know why they didn't like him? Because he had no idea of personal space. He would come this close and start talking to you. And he loved leeks and onions and garlic. And so you're just like, whoa, okay. Number one, you're in my space. Number two, I may pass out soon, you know. And nobody would hang out with him. And I felt terrible because this guy's home address was Bethlehem, okay? That was really cool. His home address had Bethlehem on it. And he was actually a Christian Arab. So he said nobody liked him in the Middle East. The Jews didn't like him because he was an Arab. The Arabs didn't like him because he was a Jew. And neither one of them liked him because he was a Christian. And yet he still chose to hold fast to Jesus Christ. When I got to know this guy, he and I would sit there and I would just be like, dear Jesus, please help me. And he'd be this far from me conversing with me. And I spent about 3 months in seminary getting to know him really well, eating with him, talking with him, being in classes. Really cool watching him write Arabic backwards. You know, he would take notes backwards and it's the most beautiful things, like artwork going across a sheet of paper. And it was so cool to watch him. And we talk, and I try to befriend him. I try to spend a little bit of time with him. And after about 3 months, I sat down with him, and I said, let me explain something to you. We're Americans. And as Americans, we have a thing called personal space. And he had no clue. He looked at me and goes, what's that? And I said, well, there's like a bubble that Americans draw around themselves that they don't want anybody to come inside unless you're married to them. And honestly, sometimes you're married to them, and you don't want them to come inside that bubble. And I said, that space is probably about this far. And he looked at me and gasped. And he said, that would be so rude to stand that far away and give that sense of standoffishness from somebody else. And I'm like, I know it's going to about kill you to do this, but you're in America. If you'll try to find that space, you'll find more people will talk to you. You'll find more people will spend time with you. And he's like, wow, that's very hard. And I said, I know. I said, you got to understand, when I first started talking to you, you were all up in my bubble. You popped my bubble. I didn't even have any soap film left when you got done with my bubble. But I love you, and I really love talking with you, and you're going to find this out. And it about killed him to do it. But he wound up with 10, 15, 20 friends within almost a month's time. And what I'm trying to say to you is this, saints, we all have our level of comfort. And you know, don't go around greeting people with a holy kiss, okay? And just saying, I'm just being biblical. And guys, try it with a girl and I'll punch you, okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. That's just ungodly. But there is acceptable ways of showing general acceptance and hello, and you greet somebody. When you see somebody in Walmart, don't run down the next aisle. Oh, no. You know, and you run down there. No, greet your brothers. You know what's so funny? You know why everybody's laughing? Because we do that. You're in Walmart, and you're like, you see somebody on aisle 7. It's like, oh, aisle 8, you know. Sometimes you turn right on aisle 9 just for fear that you may run on them. Greet your brothers. We should see a brother in Christ and go, oh, my brother. Now, let me say this. Brothers and sisters, when somebody greets you in a Walmart, do not engage them in an hour and a half conversation about your deepest fears, because they don't want to discuss that in front of the corn bread, okay? They want to have that kind of a discussion in front of the cornmeal. Greet one another. Don't spend days, you know? Maybe we need to get together, or, hey, isn't it wonderful? God's so good, and all stuff like that. But greet each other. Shake hands. Say hello. Be affectionate-minded towards your brothers and sisters in Christ, and let it be a joy when you see each other. You know, and I'll just tell you this. Many times God will judge you if you go two aisles down and turn. There'll be another brother in Christ on that row. And they'll see you flying down the row. What's such a hurry, brother? It's like, oh, man. Pastor John said this had happened. Now I've got to be cordial. Oh. They're your brother in Christ. Be nice to them. So the first thing is to love one another. Second thing is to encourage one another. It says, so we should pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. That term in Romans 14, 19 means to build a house. We need to call out and cheer one another. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you are also doing. And that word encourage one another, the word build up one another has that whole idea of building a house again. But that word encourage one another is so cool because it means to come alongside somebody and cheer them on. And we need to have that mindset of encouraging each other in our walk with Christ. By the way, how many of you at least one time this week needed a little bit of encouragement to just walk in the way that you probably needed to walk in the Lord? And by the way, the number of you called me, sent texts, things, thank you. Because this was a weird, strange, very, very difficult week. And you just can't imagine what 5-10 words on an email or a text meant to me this week. And I'll tell you, the biggest thing that was a cool thing to me was just somebody says, hey, we're praying for you. And I was like, oh, thank you. You know, because I was afraid on Sunday I might die, and I was afraid on Monday I might not. And it was just kind of one of those weeks. You ever been there? I call it the three-truck flu. It's like you've been run over by three trucks. And it was rough. But there were people that called out and cheered me up and sought to build me up in Christ. By the way, there's also some other things. We need to admonish one another. Romans 15, 14 says, concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to admonish one another. It says in Colossians 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell within you richly with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I've got brothers in Christ who can admonish me. My wife can admonish me. Honestly, I'm learning to let my daughters and my sons admonish me. I had an hour and a half talk with Josiah. I just pulled over into a parking lot on my cell phone last night. That was just a blast. And during that conversation with Josiah, we were talking about what God was teaching us. And at least two or three times, he just admonished me in the Lord about certain things. And it was so good to have that admonishment to keep walking with God, that admonishment to stay away from certain things, that admonishment to say, man, if you're not doing this, do it more because it'll bless you. By the way, when we do this, it does say, let the word richly dwell within you as you admonish somebody. In other words, don't admonish them with Oprah, okay? That's not admonishment, that's discouragement. Admonish them with the word. Build them up with the word. By the way, you want to know why we need to do this? Because it says in Hebrews 3 this, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Now here's what it says. But encourage one another. Day after day. Did you hear what it just said? Encourage one another day after day. How often do we need this encouragement, saints? You tell me. Daily. How many of you have a propensity to sin daily? How many of you have a propensity to blow it daily? How many of you don't know what propensity means? My family always tells me, quit using big, gigantic words. How many of you have a tendency to blow it and to fail? And you know what happens daily? And I have days, this last week, I had times where it was hourly, minutely, secondly. And it just says day after day, encourage one another. And it says this, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Do you realize that all of us have the potential to have our hearts hardened? And that sin is deceitful. It just means it lies to us. You know why we get sucked into sin? I don't know if you guys have ever been here before, but I've been there where I've sinned and I'm like, how did I do that? Why did I do that? Why would I do anything like that? That was sin. That was really dumb. It's deceitful. Very seldom does sin come up to you and say, oh, I'm sin. I'm going to drag you into misery and destruction. And then I'm going to poke you in the eye with a fork. I've never had sin visit me that way. I always have sin come up and say, hey, it'd be a blast. Or I love this one. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's going to hell, you know? Why would I want to do what everybody's doing? I want to be on the narrow road. I want to be on the road that's less traveled. I want to be on that narrow way that few find. Why do we need to encourage each other? Because, man, sin is deceitful. Sin will lie to you. Sin will get you to think, well, yeah, I think that's okay. Well, I could try that. Well, that doesn't seem too bad. And it is bad. And sometimes, honestly, it takes a brother to look me in the eye after I'm going, man, I'm having a rough time. And I said, well, tell me what's going on. And after about 5 minutes, they go, stop. I said, what? And I said, this is sin, this is sin, this is sin. Of course you're having a hard time. I had a wonderful brother that I have a relationship with on the internet. And I was just telling this guy what a rough time I was having this week. And he said, you know, and I loved what this guy said. And I don't know if any of you will get this. But he said, you know, God says in his word that he will take out shield and buckler. And buckler simply means a sword. And he said, God said he will take out his shield and buckler and he will defend you. But you need to understand that what God is working for most often when he pulls out that shield and he pulls out that sword is your Christ-likeness. And he said, so John, when you look at this last week, and then he said this on the email at the very bottom and didn't say anything else except love and then the guy's name. And his name is The Dub. On the internet. He said, John, quit fencing with God. I was like, ah! He said, God will pull out his sword and he will fight for you. He will fight for you, saints. He will take the devil head on. But know this. If you start walking in a way where you're being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, he will take out his sword and he will fight with you. And my brother said, John, quit fencing with God. And I was like, oh man, that is awesome. Thank you. And with a little sentence surrounded by a bunch of scripture, I was blown away. I was absolutely blessed. And I thought to myself, I can tell you why this time and this time and these couple of days were really hard. I wasn't taking out my sword and fighting with God. I had my sword out and I was fighting against God. And I needed someone to admonish me, someone to love me, someone to tell me the truth. By the way, if you're fencing with God, He's way better swordsman than any of you. You're gonna lose. Just let me warn you. I'll tell you what. We're gonna stop here. But I do want to encourage you, saints, with this. And if nothing else, leave you with this. You know, I'm serious. Everybody has to vote. How many of you could have used at least one word of encouragement this week to help you make it through this week living for Christ? Just show your hand. Okay. Then let me leave you with this. Encourage one another. Day after day after day after day. Because if we don't, saints... And by the way, if you thought somebody was less than you, then you need to encourage them first. Because if we don't, we're going to watch subtly and some things begin to happen where some of us are going to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Did you ever notice a brother or sister hadn't been here in a while? What was your first thought?
Oh, they're ungodly. They ought to be at church. Godly people are at church.
And the Lord's going, well, you're at church and you're not being very godly. See, our first thought will be, hey, my brother's not around. Oh, man. There's a possibility he may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. There's a possibility he may be hurting. There's a possibility there may be a medical situation in their family. There's a possibility that he thinks nobody loves him, and he needs to know I love him, and he definitely needs to know God loves him because God just told me he wasn't here. So God noticed, and God told me because I'm blind as a bat. Now I get a chance to give him a call, send him an email, send him a text. Maybe even go to his house and give him a singing telegram in Jesus' name. Just to let him know that I love him, God loves him, and don't be hardened by sin. We love you. We're praying for you. We're going to be part of the body of Christ, and we're going to wind up beating the devil half to death. No, completely to death. By the way that we love each other around here. So, saints, take advantage of every opportunity you have. And if you don't have the habit, begin building the habit of encouraging somebody daily. Because I can promise you this, if you need encouragement daily, then build the habit of trying to offer some encouragement daily. Text, email, phone call. I'm kidding about the singing telegram. But just do something that would bless your brothers and sisters and let them know that you love them. Tonight we'll walk over the part of being gracious to one another. And we'll look at that last part of how to practically love one another in the body of Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father,